People enjoy having some spirits with their friends and relatives, but there can be a dark side to this picture, and that could be binge drinking during these celebratory times.
Absolutely. You know, when we look at public health concerns, alcohol consumption, and in particular binge drinking, is one of our top concerns. It really causes quite a degree of not only sort of social cost, but also economic cost as well. You know, for example, the government estimated in 2010 about $250 billion was the cost of problematic alcohol use, and about 80% of that was directly linked to binge drinking. And so maybe we should start just with an understanding of what it is. And so when we're defining binge drinking, what we're meaning is reaching an alcohol content above 0.08, which is often, you know, connected with the legal limit to drive. And what that means is for men, that's about 5 or more drinks in 2 hours. For women, about 4 or more drinks in 2 hours is a general guideline. Though, of course, for everyone, depending on body weight and metabolism, that can differ. And so we're not talking about necessarily just having a glass of wine or two at dinner. We're talking about drinking at a level that puts someone into the level of impairment, where the risk of negative consequences related to alcohol use goes up.
I know a lot of people who would say that if they had a glass of wine every 30 minutes for a couple of hours, that would not in any way be considered binge drinking.
Yeah, and this is where it gets tricky. We all sort of have personal understandings of what alcohol use is, what's safe or not. And, you know, it's important to note, according to the best research evidence, that there really is no such thing as safe drinking. That is, there's not a level that we can say, we guarantee you, you won't experience any negative effects, you'll be fine. But what we do have, and the National Institutes of Health and other organizations sort of look at these guidelines, is what we call low-risk drinking. And so these are levels where the majority of people who drink at or below these sort of levels are at relatively low risk to go on and experience negative consequences. And what we find is, you know, for men that's staying below 4 drinks a day, no more than, ever than 4, and no more than 14 total drinks in a week. And for women, we're looking at no more than 3 drinks in a day and no more than 7 drinks in a week. And some of those differences are related to metabolism and other or features between men and women. But, you know, another important piece of this is also what counts as a drink, because that often gets confused. And in bars and other settings or social gatherings, we often, you know, what a standard drink of alcohol is does not reflect what the beverage is in front of someone.
Let me guess, a standard drink is going to be a smaller amount than individuals would probably want it to be, right?
Absolutely, right. And so, for example, for beer, 12 ounces of 5% beer. So many craft beers or pints of beers, you know, one drink, you know, one glass of that could actually be 1.5, sometimes even 2 drinks, standard drinks, depending on the alcohol percentage. For a glass of wine, it's about 5 ounces, 4.5 to 5 ounces. And that means not, of course, filling up to the top of the glass. Mixed drinks are the same. It's about, a standard sort of shot of alcohol is 1.5 ounces of spirits. But many mixed drinks or cocktails can contain multiple standard drinks, and sometimes even 3 or 4 or more. So, you know, I think it's important that, you know, as we're kind of thinking about these sort of low-risk drinking, you know, making sure that we're at least in touch and being honest with ourselves about what we're consuming, because then it helps us make an informed decision about, where we are.
Well, what is one to do when having a good time in a social setting with friends and libations around them? How can one keep from binge drinking?
Yeah, well, one thing is to acknowledge that, yes, alcohol does have some, you know, positive effects when people use it. And what's important to note, though, is most of those positive features that people experience, so reduced inhibitions, some mild sense of euphoria, greater sort of social sort of facilitation, those occur at relatively low dosages of alcohol. And that's often important to remember. And so that is when people are drinking, they often report experiencing those sort of positive things early on in drinking. And one of the challenges that happens is when sometimes folks just keep drinking to keep drinking. And what we find is as the blood alcohol content goes up and someone's sort of level of alcohol in their system increases, it's not so much that those pleasant symptoms keep increasing as well. What we see is those tend to plateau relatively early, and instead we start seeing the impairments and negative sort of consequences come into play. So some of that are the motor impairments associated with alcohol use, but it's also important to know that higher levels of alcohol concentrations, we also see lots of sort of emotional impairments as well. We see pretty extreme mood swings, negative mood effects, and so it isn't the case that more is always better. So I think that might be a starting point to kind of come in connection with is that, well, yes, many people who are drinking at low-risk levels enjoy alcohol and have those positive experiences. More doesn't mean you're going to have more positive experiences. You might just be getting some of the less desired effects as dosages go up.
Should individuals be concerned if they only binge drink a handful of times a year, or is it concerning when this becomes a repeated pattern, when they continually have to drink large amounts of alcohol to have any enjoyment? What are the guidelines?
You know, you're picking up some really important questions here. And yes, drinking more frequently and binge drinking more often is, of course, more risky. But what we find is that individuals who don't drink often, but when they do drink at these binge levels, are also at risk, right? Because we know that alcohol also impairs judgment. So individuals end up sometimes in situations where even if they don't drink often, you know, it takes one binge drinking episode to possibly get connected with the negative consequences of drinking. So that's, again, why we would say that, you know, the low-risk limits are really, even if you only drink occasionally, keeping within those low-risk guidelines. No more than 3 drinks for a woman, 4 drinks for a man in one sitting put you in the best position to not experience the negative consequences. But yes, one of the other pieces you mentioned was this idea that as people use a drug more and more, and alcohol is a drug and acts on the central nervous system, you often develop a tolerance for it. You need more of the drug to get an effect. And that's one of the challenges associated with higher level use, right? That what we find is that individuals, you know, take more and more, use more and more to get any sort of sense of the positive effects, but what they're also getting is lots more of the negative effects and consequences associated with use. And that's, again, where those low-risk limits seem to be some of the best recommendations. You know, another piece, and you sort of asked about it a bit earlier, is this idea of what are we to do? You know, how could we possibly monitor this? And, you know, one is, you know, it's not the case where, you know, I'm suggesting you constantly, you know, monitor everything and have to remind yourself of all the horrible negative consequences every time you want to sip a beer. I think it's more about, you know, setting out with a clear limit for yourself about how much you're going to consume or enjoy in a setting and then coming in with a sense of what that's going to be. Some of the other easy things to do are, you know, enjoy food while you're drinking, right? You know, having meals can not only kind of slow down the metabolism of alcohol, and food can be delicious and, you know, give you something to do. And that's another piece of it. So food is one, but having other activities, making sure that, you know, if it's in a social setting, it's about the conversation. If it's an event, it's about the event and the experience. Can slow down drinking as well in a natural way so that, you know, that alcohol use can be a part of a broader celebration or experience, but not the primary focus. And that can often help folks stay in those low-risk levels.